program is paid for by Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries.
Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning, and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few minutes, please stay with me. It won't be long, just about 30 minutes of motivation, some inspiration, some education, and as we always say, no manipulation. That's right, we're not going to try to con you into doing anything. No requesting for money, no offerings taken. Not trying to sell you anything, but we want to give you some information that will help you verify and hopefully identify the plan of God for your life. And if you're able to do that, then we pray that you would orient and adjust to that plan. That's my objective, to give you the good news, the wonderful good news of God's prevailing plan for your life and what that actually means for you. We are moving into the year 2024, and what an exciting time that would be. But we have a lot of things going on. First of all, many of you have requested the book God's Grace and Aging. That book was delayed at the printer because of the holidays, but we now have it in hand, and we are beginning to mail it out this week and next week. So if you requested God's Grace and Aging, it will be on the way. Already we've had well over 1,000 requests for that free book that we offer. And thank you for asking to read the information. I think it'll help you understand what God's plan is for your life as you grow older. Now, we want to talk about some interesting things today, and I hope you'll stay with me. It's a very critical time for us in this new year coming up. Who knows what's going to happen? But we're moving into the year 2024. Can you believe that? The really big question to be answered is, what can we expect in this coming year? What's it going to be like? Not only what can you expect individually, personally, in your own personal life, but what can we expect in our nation and the way things are going? All the big-shot radio talk show conservative hosts are predicting a year of chaos, and not only across the nation, but perhaps throughout the entire world. I have a friend who recently wrote me an article about their assessment of what we face in the future. Here's what my friend said. My friend said this, said, "We are a sovereign nation that has defined borders. Not enforcing our borders now is a direct attack on our sovereignty. The oligarchy trying to dismantle our country, as well as others across the globe who hate us, can best accomplish their goals by rewriting our history and destroying anything that refers to past accomplishments in America. Then there's the travesty of public school systems, many of which are failing to educate our youth, and the failure of many churches to teach the Bible, to teach Scripture, along with the American industry moving to other countries for cheaper labor, giving American dollars to our known enemies, and all the time pushing for one world government, which is exactly what Satan wishes to accomplish, so he can introduce what is in the Bible is called the Antichrist." Revelation 13, 1 through 10, my notes are right there. You say, who is the Antichrist? Well, he is one of the two great dictators who emerge in what's called the Tribulation. He is the beast out of the Sea of Nations, the Gentile ruler of the revived Roman Empire, supposedly a 10-nation empire, and he's also the leader of ecumenical religion during the Tribulation. He's called by many different titles, but he is the Antichrist, the one called the 666. So we're headed that way, aren't we? A lot of people seem to think the end is near. A lot of people think the end is coming. And a lot of people say, well, maybe we're approaching the return of Jesus Christ to this planet. Some people say, will the great nations of the world erupt into total war? Will we have an all-out World War III? Will we face nuclear war with Russia and China and maybe even North Korea as the new year comes around in 2024? Or perhaps our government will come out and admit we're being visited by aliens from other planets? Little green men who have advanced technology to what we know? That's a question to ask. But here's the greatest question. This is the question I have to ask you. This applies to you more than any other question that I have. Even the greater question is this. Will this be the year that you die? Will this be the year that you die? If you will allow me, I'll try to answer many of these questions today on the program, and I'll start with the last thing I just asked you. Will this be the year that you die? Hebrews 9:27 tells us, And as it is appointed to men to die once, but after this the judgment. In Psalm chapter 90, verse 10, the days of our lives are 70 years, and by reason of strength they are 80 years. Yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Death to you may be a morbid thought, but the reality of it is this, that we will all die. Hebrews 9:27 said it. It's appointed for men once to die, and after that the judgment. I'm sorry to tell you this, but you have no control over the time and the manner of your human termination, but you do absolutely, absolutely have a choice about where you will spend eternity once your earth days are complete. The Scriptures clearly say the choice is yours to make. In John 3:16, the verses you've heard for years, reading through verse 18, the Bible says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. That was not the objective of God. But that the world through him might be delivered. He who believes in him will not be condemned. But he who does not believe in is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So you have a choice to make. Who do you think Jesus Christ is? Do you think he's the anointed Son of God that went to the cross and died for you? That's your choice. And it's always your choice. God's not going to force you to accept what Christ provided. You have to make that decision on your own. But if you do choose to receive Christ as your Savior, and I pray you will, it is your ironclad guarantee of eternal life with God, and along with the millions of others who have made the same choice. So let me ask you today, have you trusted Christ to save you? Have you received him as your Savior? Is that done? Is that taken care of? John 1:12, but as many as receive him, that's what I said, have you received him? But as many as receive him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. That's all you have to do. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the anointed Son of God? Do you believe that he went to the cross and took your place and paid for your sin? Or do you think you can earn God's forgiveness? Because the Bible says there are none that are good, no, not one. Even all of our good works are like filthy rags in God's eyes. You can't earn God's forgiveness. The Bible clearly says, for by grace are you saved through your faith, and it's a gift from God, not of works, lest anyone should brag about it. So, have you received Christ as your Savior? That's the eternal question you must answer, because if this is the year that your number is up, and if this is the year that God calls you to come to heaven and face him, that's the first question. Have you accepted my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as your personal Savior? Why is that important? Well, listen to 1 John 5:12. He who has the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know for sure, my words, that you may know for sure that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Why don't we settle it today? Why don't we nail it down now? Why don't you, right this very minute, tell God you would like to receive Christ as your Savior? It's a simple prayer. That's all I did, and that's all you have to do. You can simply say, Father, I believe Christ died for me, and I want to accept him as my Savior. That's it. Why do you say that's it? Well, whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's what the Bible says. And if you did that, if you just sit here and you ask the Lord to save you, he's not a liar. He will do it. And then we don't have to worry about it if this is the year that you die. Because sooner or later, we will all die. So do you have Christ as your personal Savior? If this is the year of your departure, will you go to heaven? Do you have that confidence? Can you truly know it? Yes, I read it to you. These things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. You don't have to hope, and you don't have to pray about, please save me, please save me. Listen, when you come to God and you tell him you are accepting Christ as your Savior, That one time is enough. You don't have to do it 50 times. One time is enough. Now, the next question is, what do you do with it after you accept Christ as your Savior? Because I have known many people who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, and all they really want is a bus ticket out of hell to go to heaven. But what about you? Do you really want to know God? Do you really want to understand God's plan for your life? Well, it starts with you accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior. Now let's go to the next question I want to ask you. Here's another thought. Are we headed for a war with China or Russia or maybe even North Korea? And if we are, what will that mean for you? Are we going to have World War III break out in the year 2024? The disciples had questions like this. Listen to Matthew 24:3-8. Now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things be? And what will the sign of your coming be and the end of the age?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one trick you, deceive you. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and many will deceive many. And you will hear of wars. You will hear of rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled because of this, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdoms will rise against kingdom. And there will be famines, pestilence, earthquakes in various places. And all these are the beginnings of sorrow." You know, people like to try to scare you with World War III and nuclear war and all life will be wiped out. That is not what the Bible says. The Bible clearly tells us how this world will end, and the Bible tells us the next prophetic event for the Christian is called the rapture of the church, the exit resurrection. And that's seen in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. If you are a Christian, that could happen today. But as far as the world being destroyed in a massive world war, nuclear, thermonuclear war, it will not happen according to the Bible. There must be a 1,000-year reign of the Lord Jesus Christ here in his resurrection body, called the millennial reign of Christ, before the Lord will personally terminate this world according to 2 Peter. So the disciples had questions. They were asking the Lord, when will these things be terminated? But here's a better question for you to ask and for me to ask. Will our nation, will America, will we endure the upcoming events of election year, as well as the international hatred for America because of our support of Israel in this current war with the Palestinians? What about us? Will we endure it? Going all the way back to the book of Genesis, we find some words recorded that we can take comfort in. In Genesis 12:1-3, the Bible says, "Now the Lord said to Abram, 'Get out of your country, leave your family, go from your father's house, and I will show you a land that I want you to go to, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you. And I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing.'" This is God's covenant with Abraham. Listen carefully now. Verse 3, Genesis 12. "I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse the ones that curse you. And you and all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." According to the scriptures here that I just read to you, there's no doubt that we should stand behind and support the Jew. This is not a political show. I'm not a politician. But it's simply a statement I make based on the validity of the sacred Bible. If you're concerned about the destiny of America, I want to give you two terms you need to understand. The first one is what we call a client nation. And the second is called the pivot, being a member of the pivot. So let's start with a term about a client nation. A client nation is identified in the Bible as a national entity under the patronage of God. And that nation is assigned the responsibility for the formation, the preservation, the communication, and the fulfillment of the canon of Scripture. I'm very proud to say that today America is a Gentile client nation to God. A client nation to God is a nation under divine protection. You can see that from the past and some of the things we've been through. Because why? Why would it be under divine protection? Because it has a large pivot, of mature believers. And that's the other term I want you to get, pivot. We're going to talk about it. A large pivot of mature believers. These mature believers have what's called blessing by association to those around them, and even historical blessing to their nation. But what you need to remember is that the client nation is destroyed by a lack of a pivot, by believers that go into reverse process reversionism, believers who spin off from the pivot, people that should have been mature believers by now, and they reject the Word of God, and they begin to go backwards. Some people call them backsliders, but the pivot shrinks. And if the pivot shrinks, the nation loses its client nation status with God and can undergo even the five cycles of discipline. So a client nation like America, we have basically five things God's holding us accountable for. We must evangelize our own population at home. Of course, that's becoming harder and harder to do. American Freedom From Religion Foundation sues somebody every time they try to put up a cross, every time they try to put a nativity scene. Every time they try to give the gospel in a school, they want to sue, write a letter, threaten the school, can't talk about God, can't talk about Jesus, can't do it in the public arena. But, oh, by the way, we can have a satanic temple in the capital of some states. And we can have satanic Bible clubs. That's okay. Satanic clubs to study Satan after school in some schools. That's okay. But now we can't do that with the Bible sometimes. It's interesting. When I first went into the ministry, I spoke in hundreds of schools across the Southeast, and there was no problem. No problem at all. And many young people had the opportunity to hear God's plan. We must evangelize our population. We must reach the young people in our nation. Because you don't realize this, social media is reaching them. They all have a cell phone. They all have a computer. They all have an iPad. And they're being recruited every day by the forces of Satan, I assure you. We must evangelize our own population at home, and it must start with mama and daddy giving the gospel to their children, or grandmother and grandfather giving the gospel to their grandchildren. It must start that way. The second thing we must do as a client nation is we must communicate the Word of God to the believers in the nation. You've heard me talk about the fog over America before. You've heard me talk about a failure of spiritual leadership before. We've gotten away from teaching the Word of God. We've gotten away from that. We've gotten away from going in depth to the Word of God. And God's protocol plan is not being taught anymore. We use a lot of terms like Lord willing and God bless you, brother, and I'll pray for you, sister, and turn it over to Jesus now. But nobody tells you how to do that. Nobody tells you what that means. We don't communicate Bible doctrine to the believers in this nation. Let me show you an example. John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. If I take that verse and teach it to you exegetically, it could take me possibly 6 months, maybe even a year, to cover that verse. One verse. For God, the doctrine of God. We could stop right there and do the doctrine of God. Can you tell me the essence of God, that he's sovereignty, righteousness, justice, love, eternal life, immutability, omnipotence, omniscience? Can you tell me the essence of God? Do you know what it is? If you don't, when they say, for God so loved the world, what do we know about God? Don't you remember I told you before that God said he's looking for people that not only know him, but understand him? Do you understand his justice and his righteousness are the guardians of his love? God loves you, but what the love of God cannot bless, what the righteousness of God rejects. And what the righteousness of God rejects, the justice of God must judge. So, do you understand God? We're not teaching the Bible. We turned into a dolly whirl in a lot of our churches where people sing and they say, I'm coming to worship, but no instruction, no communication about how we're supposed to work. We just think it's going to get up there and pray, and God's going to answer the prayer all of a sudden, and that's not necessarily true. A client nation also must be what? Responsible for the custodianship of the Word of God to make sure it's not distorted, to make sure it's not twisted. And that's why the Bible says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. We must take care. We must be careful not to let it be twisted. And we must be a haven for the Jew, Yes, I read you that passage. And finally, a client nation like us, we must be responsible for missionaries going out across the world to evangelize other nations. Those things right there, we evangelize our own population, we communicate Bible doctrine to the believers in our nation, we are responsible for the custodianship of the Word of God, we provide a haven for the Jew, and it's our responsibility to send out missionaries to evangelize other nations. Those are our five responsibilities as a client nation. And you can watch history. You can determine if God is blessing or bringing discipline on this client nation. Because a client nation under the fifth cycle of discipline can expect military defeat. A client nation such as us, if we go under the five cycles of discipline, we can expect foreign occupation. We can expect famine with no relief from God, since he was despised and rejected during the good times. You can read all about it. Leviticus 26:27-39. Leviticus 26:27-39. There it is. All five cycles of discipline. And this is exactly what happened to Israel and eventually Judah. And it's what will happen to this Gentile client nation if we forsake our plan. So as a member of the pivot, you can sustain your nation in these sinful days. So the question is, how would you become a member of the pivot? Now, what is that? Well, a pivot member is a believer who has some spiritual momentum in his life, male or female. This type of person stands out as opposed to those who have no spiritual momentum and spend their time in the cosmic system chasing the details of life. But the true Christian influence in a national entity is a spiritual influence. And the believer's civil responsibility is defined under the laws of divine establishment, as in Romans 13:1-10. You want to hear it? This is the Christian influence in a nationality such as America, in a client nation. Romans 13, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. There is no authority, listen carefully, there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinances of God. And those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. But do you want to be unafraid out of authority? Then do what's right. Do good, and you'll have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, then be afraid. For he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister and avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. That's the criminal. Therefore, you must be subject not only because of the wrath, but also for conscience sake. And for because of this, you must also pay your taxes, for they are God's ministers attending continually to this very thing. Render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, custom to whom custom is due, fear to whom fear is due, and honor to whom honor is due, and love your neighbor. And owe no man anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law of God. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet, and if there's any other mandate, they're all summed up in the saying, namely, love your neighbor as yourself, because love does no harm to a neighbor, and therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. That's a lot I just read to you, and I'm asking you to read it yourself, Romans 13:1-10. And I'm asking you to join the pivot this morning. I'm asking you to make your relationship with God your priority number one in your life. Your relationship with God and His Word, priority number one. And you start by using Rebound every day. That's what gives you the filling of the Holy Spirit. Problem-solving device number one, Rebound. Those 10 problem-solving devices that we base our radio show on. If you don't know what they are, contact us and we'll send you a book explaining them to you. But Rebound is 1 John 1:9. When you confess known sin, that allows the Holy Spirit to fill you. When you sin, you quench the Holy Spirit and you grieve the Holy Spirit, and you cannot live the Christian life under the energy of the flesh. So if you will stay filled with the Holy Spirit, then do whatever it takes. But whatever it takes, find a well-qualified pastor who can feed your hungry soul. Because the road to spiritual maturity is not an easy road to follow. There will be distractions, there will be distortions, But God, the Holy Spirit, will guide you and sustain you in this coming year if, in fact, you're ready to take up your spiritual life and be serious about it and become part of the pivot in this client nation. I'm asking you, join me in the pivot. I'm counting on you to step up and be the anchor that this nation needs. I'm counting on you to focus your attention on what the Word of God says and don't be distracted by all the speculation of the cosmic system and what they'll throw at you in regards to spacemen and other weird events that might happen. Our Lord will return soon enough. You just need to be ready. 1 Thessalonians 5:1-6, but concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourself know perfectly that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then suddenly destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman. And they shall not escape, but you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that in this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day, and we are not of the night nor in the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others sleep, and let us watch, let us be sober. Let us pay attention. 2024, could the Lord Jesus Christ come back in 2024? Yes. Could America be destroyed in 2024 and lose its client nation status? Yes. Could you be a part of the pivot and deliver this nation in 2024? Yes. I've explained that to you. My prayer is you will get under the ministry of a great pastor, learn the Word of God, put it to use in your life, stay filled with the Holy Spirit, and glorify God to the maximum by representing Jesus Christ through your life, to your friends, to your family, through your church, and through your home. Thank you for listening. Please come back next week, same time, same place. Until then, this is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for listening to The Floodline.
Thank you for listening to The Floodline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or online at www.rickhughesministries.org. The preceding program was paid for by Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries. The following program is paid for by Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries.
Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few minutes, stick around. It'll be about 30 minutes of motivation, some inspiration, a whole lot of education, and no solicitations, no manipulation. We're not going to try to con you out of any money. We're not going to try to sell you something, not going to ask you to give anything. We would like to ask you to listen. Listen as I try to verify as well as identify God's plan for your life. And if I'm able to do that, if I can, then you can orient and adjust to the plan if you'd like to do that. That's my prayer. That's why we have this radio show. But we're looking for those of you that are hungry to grow spiritually. We're looking for those of you that can deliver this nation, those of you that can become mature believers, and God can count on you to have an invisible impact in good old U.S. of A. So thank you for listening. And let me remind you that we have transcripts of all of our shows from 2019, 2020 and 2021. These are written transcripts of each and every show. We'll be more than happy to send those books to you free of charge, and you can read through them. Each book will have a whole year in the show, 52 shows every year. And we are now around, we're up around 958 shows that we've been on the radio now. 958 Sundays. That's a long time. And I might say that God has provided everything we need without us having to beg people for money. I know if God's in it, He pays for it. And many of you have contributed, and we thank you for your contributions. Many people have even said we'll support a radio show in my city for a year, and that's great. We thank you for that, too. We couldn't do what we do if God didn't use you to do what you do. So thank you for listening. Let's get into what we want to talk about today, all right? Well, by the way, I hope you ordered that new book, God's Grace in Aging. It's out now, and it's a phenomenal book. We've already had over 900 orders for that book. And if you're over 50 years old, you probably need to read it. It deals with how God will treat you and what God expects out of you and what God provides for you as you round the corner headed towards the home base. Okay? Now, as the new year approaches, many of us are going to make plans to better our lives next year. You know, it's 2024 coming up, and I don't know what your plans are, what kind of New Year's Eve pledge that you make that you're going to do better next year, but people make those plans all the time. Make, you know, I'm going to do better next year. I'm going to change my way of life next year. I'm going to do this, next, that. By making good decisions, we're going to better our lives, make good decisions. Well, in the spiritual realm, many of those who listen to our broadcast have indeed started developing some spiritual momentum this past year. I'm proud to say that. I've gotten hundreds of letters from people that said this show has helped turn their life around and they've started to gain spiritual momentum. I think about several close, dear, wonderful friends. I've seen their lives totally change, especially a wonderful friend in Tennessee and some friends in Texas and friends up north. It's been wonderful to see how God has taken them and their hunger for the Word of God and seen things change. Well, what's happened? They got under a well-qualified pastor. They started taking in the Word of God on a daily basis. And their momentum started building spiritually as they grow. Unfortunately, the best intentions do not always work out, and sometimes we wind up crashing and burning. I mean, for example, if you ever joined a gym in January with the intention of getting in shape, and then a few weeks later you find yourself losing interest and failing to follow through on your commitment to go to that gym and work out and get back in shape. You know, life is about making decisions, and it's true, physically as well as spiritually, bad decisions limit future options. And all good decisions expand our options. So we start making those decisions as a young child. And basically based on what our parents teach us, what our parents put in our soul. The Bible is pretty clear about this for parents. If you're a parent, the mandate for parents to implant divine viewpoint, that's God's thinking, into the soul's mentality of your child is seen clearly in the Bible in Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Listen to what Moses wrote in the book of Deuteronomy 6, chapter 6, verses 5 through 9. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You should bind them as a sign on your hand, as they shall be on the frontlets of your forehead. So what Moses is saying here, God is saying through the prophet Moses, is that you has to teach your children to respect my word. It says, write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates, verse 9. These verses clearly indicate the importance of parents teaching God's word to your children, beginning at a very early age, giving them some spiritual wisdom so they will know their choices in life. My very close friend and pastor, Bobby Thame, recently taught a series in the book of Ecclesiastes. And in the book of Ecclesiastes in chapter 11, he himself developed the concepts of prime time in the life of a child. Prime time. That's when they are most susceptible to the wisdom of God. Listen to Ecclesiastes 11:10. Therefore, remove sorrow from your heart and put away evil from your flesh, for childhood and youth are all vanity. There are a lot of things that a child can do and build scar tissue in their life if they're not prepared. And so the job of the parent is to act as a protector over the soul of their child and put things in their soul that will protect them so they do not scar up their life in the future. Here's a few of my pastor's thoughts on prime time in youth. He said, and these are his words, the mind of the young is void and empty, a dearth of knowledge that must be filled. He said it's the hardest time of life to do that constructively, and he's right. He went on to say that even if one remains immature, indulgent, or aimless, or worse, throughout the prime period of his life, the foolishness of those years does not have to affect the rest of their life. That's assuming they get saved and assuming they get the Word of God and learn the Word of God and develop some wisdom in their soul. So Pastor Thame made it clear to his congregation and to me as well that in the spiritual realm, the prime time may not have anything to do with your age. The prime time for you and the prime time for me is when we seek and find the wisdom of God's Word in our life. And that wisdom will allow you to have a steady path of growth in your spiritual life by you learning and you applying God's Word and hopefully under a well-qualified, prepared pastor. So your prime time could be right now. And maybe my show has motivated you to begin advancing spiritually so that you are now beginning to grasp the plan of God and you are now beginning to use the resources that He has provided for you and your life. Solomon summed it all up in Ecclesiastes 12, 13, and 14, where he said these words, "Let us hear the conclusion to the whole matter. Fear God, that's respect God. Keep His mandates, that's obey God. For this is the whole duty of man, for God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil." Now, once you start gaining momentum in your spiritual life, hopefully you have. Some people say we listen to your radio show every Sunday. We have getting onto your podcast and listening to the podcast. And you can do that by going to Apple iPod or Spotify or Anchor. Any of the podcast platforms, you can go there and listen to The Flatline. If you search for it, it's there, and you can hear it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, anywhere, anytime, any day in a podcast. But if you're starting to grow, you're starting to listen, you're starting to learn, and you're looking for a pastor, you're going to find you'll be tested. It's called momentum testing. And this testing you will go through will give you the opportunity to apply the things you've been learning. So you can also do what? Expect distractions. Distractions that will be pushed in front of you by AKA the devil himself. And these distractions are always designed to slow down your advance to spiritual maturity. You know, slowing you down. Take it easy. You don't need to grow so fast. They might even appear to be legitimate duties. Could be imposed on you by your church. You got to come down and work here and do that and do this. I mean, let that sink in. Sometimes the church can distract you from your spiritual momentum by getting you involved in social community action things. So sometimes it's social appeals, even family duties, but make no mistake about it. What I'm telling you is this. These distractions are coming, and they will cause you to lose ground, and they will cause you to stall out. And if you are not deliberate about your spiritual intake on a daily basis, you will crash and burn spiritually. I don't mean you're going to go to hell. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying you will never be able to reach spiritual maturity, which is what God intended for you to do. There's one key thing here you must remember. God gave you volition in your soul. Volition, V-O-L-I-T-I-O-N, your volition, your chooser, your decider. And that's the key for you to pass momentum testing. Notice 1 John 5, 2 and 3. See if you can spot volition in this verse. "By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His mandates. For this is the love of God, that we keep His mandates, and His mandates are not grievous." Keep His mandates. You have to do it. No one else can do it for you. What kind of mandate should you keep? Well, here's one. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Here's another one. Grow in the grace and knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Those are two commandments right there. Here's another one. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. So there they are. All these mandates, and they revolve around your volition. Do you have the spiritual audacity to continue to study the God's Word daily and develop this new momentum in your life as you go into the new year, or will you crash and burn? Your volition, again, is the key. But the motivation for your volition, the motivation, what motivates you to do this, is your personal love for God. Listen again to 1 John 5, 3. This is the love of God. This is how you demonstrate it. This is how you show Him that we keep His mandates and they're not hard. Personal love for God is the motivation for you to be obedient. And your motivation will be tested by the enemy, because no believer can fulfill the plan of God and no believer can glorify God apart from going through momentum testing. Just bank on it. Your sin nature is going to test your volition. Your sin nature is the inside source of temptation. Nobody ever sins apart from human consent, that's obvious. But your volition is your authority in your soul. Your volition will make a decision. Positive volition will say, yes, I will do that. Negative volition will say, no, I'm not going to do that. So if your volition says yes to the temptation that Satan throws your way in momentum testing, then the momentum testing in the old sin nature controls your soul rather than the Holy Spirit. You hear that? If your volition says yes to the temptation, then the momentum testing you go through will allow your old sin nature to control your soul rather than letting the Holy Spirit control your soul. Galatians 5 teaches this very inner struggle. We war against the flesh wars against the spirit. They're contrary one to the other. You have a battle every day. And that battle is to keep you from growing spiritually and keep you from ever representing or representing Jesus Christ in your life. So if your volition says yes to the temptation, then the momentum testing the old sin nature takes over. That old sin nature is always there until you get a new body in heaven. But human volition is the source of all sin. Human volition is the source of all sin. Regardless of how the temptation came about, that's where it starts. You'll also be tested by the lure of the world. Notice the mandate in 1 John 2:15. Stop loving the cosmic system and don't love anything in the cosmic system. Because if anyone keeps loving the cosmic system, that's the world, then the love for the Father, having personal love for God, is not in them. Why? Because they love the world more than they love God. The Bible goes on to say, because all that is in the world, the cosmic system, which is the lust of the flesh, that's old sin nature testing, the lust of the eyes, that's the motivational evil, and the arrogant pattern of life, is not from the Father, but is from the cosmic system. So notice what happens here. When a believer falls out of love with God and falls in love with the world, then he breaks this mandate. Stop loving the world. Love God. Sometimes your momentum can be tested by a disaster. We've all been through these. It can be pain. It can be sickness. Physical or mental pain and anguish. Crime, maybe. You're a victim of crime. Someone breaks into your home, breaks into your house, steals your car, steals your truck. You may go through stuff like this. Does that affect your momentum? Do you quit growing? Do you quit studying? Do you get all mad and all burnt up out of shape and torqued up out of shape? You want to go out and find them and you forget your number one priority is to grow in the grace and knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ every day. So you may go through pain, mental anguish. You may go under a crime. You may go through persecution. You may go through privation, meaning you may be hungry or thirsty or have exposure or go through fatigue. You may lose your family member, or husband and wife or spouse. You may lose your property. You could lose your money. You could go under disease and under some sort of handicap. But what will it do to your spiritual momentum? Will it knock you off course? Will it stop you from growing? Will it stop you from taking in the Word of God every day? See, through all these tests, you must decide to stay filled with the Holy Spirit. Through all these tests, you must let your volition say, no, I'm not going to be distracted. No, I'm not going to quit studying. No, I'm going to open the Bible and I'm going to feed on the Word of God every day under a good pastor who's teaching you the Scriptures. Through all these tests, you have to decide to apply the doctrine you've been learning. And you have to have the relaxed mental attitude to stay cool by using what we call the faith rest drill, problem-solving device number 3. If you don't use that, then you're going to get full of self-pity and you're going to get full of anger and you're going to spin out and you're going to lose your momentum and eventually you will fade back into the world, still saved, still going to heaven, but having no influence and no impact in your generation. In fact, you know, it's possible you could become one of what the Bible calls a lukewarm believer. A lukewarm believer. Our Lord mentions that in Revelation 3:14 through 19. You want to hear about it? Listen to this verse. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write this. These things saith the Amen, the faithful, the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish you were cold or hot. Since you're not, you're just lukewarm. Neither cold nor hot. so I will spew you out of my mouth. Because you say, I'm rich, and I'm increased with goods, and I have need of nothing, and you don't even know that you are wretched, and you are miserable, and you are poor, and you are blind, and you are naked. I counsel you, the Lord said, to buy from me gold tried in fire, that you may be truly rich, and white raiment, that you may be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness does not appear, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. Because as many as I love, I rebuke, and I chasten. But be zealous, therefore, and change your mind and repent. In this letter to the church at Laodicea, our Lord warned them of their lack of commitment. By the way, this was a very wealthy city that had been destroyed by an earthquake 40 years earlier, but they rebuilt it. Our Lord identified in this passage His sovereignty. I am the Amen. That means so be it. He identified Himself as the faithful, true one. By the way, that's two qualities you and I should have, fidelity and truthfulness. And He gives a stern rebuke to this particular church for being lukewarm. No, I mean, I like my coffee very hot, don't you? And I like my tea ice cold, don't you? Most folks like their food hot, not lukewarm. Thus the microwave, good old microwave. But being lukewarm spiritually is evidence of being content with something else that fills your interest. The church at Laodicea was unaware of how wretched their spiritual life really was. They didn't recognize their condition. They had unrealistic self-image. And notice the Lord said they were miserable, poor, blind, and naked. And they were urged to put salve on their eyes so they could see what their spiritual condition actually looked like to our Lord. What is the salve on your eyes? It's the Scripture. As the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God and opens your eyes, you will see yourself as you really are, not as what you think you are. Maybe you're blind and wretched and naked, spiritually speaking. Can you maintain your momentum this coming year? Will you continue to advance spiritually? Will you get under that good pastor and start learning the Word of God on a consistent basis? Because this spiritual condition that I'm talking about is fairly typical of the nod to God crowd. Those folks who are unaware of their spiritual condition. I mean, many believers have temporary positive volition. Maybe they get positive for a while. You know, I think about my own salvation and some people that were involved in it. And they drifted off and no longer do you see them anymore. But at the time, they were hot to trot. They had a lot of positive volition. Now today, I keep up with them sometimes, those social media, they don't even mention God, don't even talk about God anymore. But they were instrumental in me coming to Christ. Temporary positive volition will cool off very quickly and eventually crash and burn. That's how it can happen to you. You can lose all your spiritual momentum. And you can settle for a religious ritual that really has no reality to it. So the question is, do you have that hunger for God's Word? Is it there? I challenge you to maintain your newfound spiritual momentum and not settle for baby food offered at so many services. Baby food. That's right. No in-depth studying. As a matter of fact, pastors that attempt to go to in-depth studying oftentimes wind up with smaller congregations. People don't want it. I can tell you two or three churches that fired their pastor because they taught too much and they didn't tend to the flock enough. That's what somebody wants, most of these churches. They want somebody to come hold their hand. Some preacher just come when they get sick in the hospital. The preacher comes see them and pray with them and say, don't worry about it, sister. My brother died with it, but you'll be okay. Hang in there. What you need is a pastor that won't dote over you, but will teach you God's Word. That's why they have deacons to do those sort of duties. That's what the New Testament said. You've got to grow. You've got to increase in the knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And you don't need a babysitter. You need an instructor, a teacher of the Word of God. And you have to have the volition to sit down and listen every day. The writer of Hebrews put it this way in Hebrews 5:11 through 14 when he said these words. He said, I got a lot of things to say to you, but they're very hard for me to say them. Very hard for me to utter them. Why is that? He said, because you're dull of hearing. You don't hear what I'm saying. I can identify with that. I've been in many churches speaking, and I know I've taught things they've never heard. And I walk out the door, and some little person, old lady, little old guy would say, "That was a really good message, preacher." And I know right away they didn't hear a thing I said. I know I've taught them things they've never heard before, but they don't respond to it. Because it's over their head? No. Because they're just not interested. This passage in Hebrews goes on to say, "For the time you ought to be a teacher, you have need again that someone come back and teach you the very first basic principles of the oracles of God, and you are become one as that needs milk and not strong meat." It's my question to you. How long have you been a Christian? How long have you been saved? Do you know the Word of God? Do you even know the books of the Bible? Can you find your way around the Bible? Do you know where certain verses are? If you've been listening to the Flatline, can I say this? Do you know what those 10 problem-solving devices are? Are you under the authority of a well-qualified pastor teaching you the Bible consistently? Or do you even want that? Are you willing to do whatever it takes to get that? I can remember many years ago, friends of mine moving to where a pastor was there, moving to his location so they could be in his church, so they could listen to him teach the Word of God. They just picked up and moved and went there. I'm not saying you have to do that. Now, thankful goodness, through social media, we can go live stream and get a lot of good information, a lot of good pastors. But are you willing to do that? Are you willing to take the time to do that? Or is it more important for you to go shopping, see your grandkids, take a trip, you know, have a little fun? You don't really have time to sit down, open your Bible, get a notebook, get a cup of coffee, and take notes and learn God's Word and apply it. So this writer said of Hebrews, you ought to be a teacher and you need one to teach you again. You're just like a baby that has to have milk. For everyone that uses milk, he says, is unskillful in the word of righteousness. He is a baby. And he goes on to say, but strong meat, that's in-depth Bible doctrine, belongs to them that are full age, mature believers. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. I can identify with this. All of my life I've struggled to be consistent. All of my life I've had distractions from time to time, and there have been times when I didn't study like I should, and then I'd pick it back up, and then I'd lay it down again, be distracted. A lot of times you're distracted. But are you willing to pay the price? Or will you fall back to feed on baby food? Will you fall back to say, well, I'm going to buy that little devotional book the preacher's selling, and I'll read that every day, and that'll be enough? No, it's not. Did you start growing this year? Have you grown closer to your Lord? Then now is the time for you to maintain your momentum and find that well-qualified pastor who can feed your soul and take you all the way to spiritual maturity before you, in fact, crash and burn. What do I mean by that? And you'll go right back to like you used to be. Saved, going to heaven, but no impact. No impact. I think about Gideon and all the men he chose, and God said, send them home. Many of them are not ready to fight. And Gideon only needed to keep about 300. That was all he needed. But God took him and changed the course of history. God's looking for well-qualified believers like you who have some doctrine in their soul. Don't crash and burn this year. Keep your momentum going. Stay filled with the Holy Spirit. Stick in the Word of God. Learn these problem-solving devices. Get under the authority of a well-qualified pastor, and I promise you, you will be tested to see if you'll stick with it. All right? Until next year, that's coming up. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and I'd like to thank you for listening to The Flatline. Thank you for your prayer support. Thank you for financial support. And next week, we'll be back, same time, same place. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054. Or online at www.rickhughesministries.org. The preceding program was paid for by Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.